Am I on now? Oh, gosh. No. It's difficult, isn't it? Because you don't know what I'm going to say, so it's all right clapping. And I've got to be honest with you. What I've got to say today, I've not found easy, because I found it very challenging to myself. And also, it's fairly heavy this morning. I haven't got loads of jokes or illustrations. Even my little illustration, which was going to be about Chicken Run, I'm not sure it's going to work, but there we go. because what I'm going to speak about this morning is the glory of God. And, you know, we sing it in so many of the songs now, God's glory, and that song this morning, you're absolutely right, Julie, I found it so difficult to sing because I thought, gosh, I don't understand the first thing about God's glory. It's a mystery, and what I'm speaking about this morning is a mystery. So if you're confused at the end, it's because it's a mystery. But it's a mystery revealed. Thinking of something Paul said a couple of weeks ago, Isaiah chapter 2, he says he was brought up on this every week this was preached to him when he was a young man. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief amongst the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream into it. And many people will come and say, come, let's go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And we then had he also said he got Ephesians rammed down his throat every week as well. Ephesians was the book to read. And it says here, just a little snippet out of Ephesians. But because of his great love for us, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now, do you understand that? That reading says that Jesus is sat at the right hand of the Father. And he seated us up there with him in heavenly places. Now, do you honestly understand that? Because I don't. It's far beyond this. And you know what? If we totally understood God, he wouldn't be worth worshipping. He would be too small. But there's things about God that we still do not understand. And things that we need to meditate upon about him that we don't really understand. And he says in his word, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways so much bigger than you. And we have to realize that there are things we don't quite understand. And I think the glory of God is probably one of those things that is difficult. But there was a guy who lived a couple of thousand years before Jesus, and he had this same dilemma. I'm going to have a reading now from Exodus chapter 33. And Andrew's going to do this reading for me because Andrew's a really good reader. Have we got... And I'd like us to just look at these verses about Moses.
Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people. But you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses says to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do everything that you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Thank you, Andrew. So Moses is a bit like us. He says, I don't quite understand. And how on earth am I going to do this thing? We read that verse from Isaiah about in the last days what God is going to do. And we really believe it. But as Moses said to God, you've called me to do this. You've called me to lead these people. How am I going to do it? I bet Paul does that sometimes when he's on his own, you know, saying, how do I do it? And Moses said, you've called me. Now, there's lots of us here. I just want to say a little bit about calling. God called. God called him, and he knew that he was called. And there's plenty of people here that know God's calling on their lives. Some of you have been exercising that calling for years. Some have had callings, you're just not quite sure what to do. And we know we've called as a church. We know the calling on our lives, what God has called us to do. But can I say this about calling? When God calls us, it will always take us out of our comfort zone. Because God calls us, and he wants us to exercise faith. And as we know, God, without faith, God's not pleased. So he takes us beyond ourselves and out of our comfort zones when we're called. And God was calling Moses here and calling him out of his comfort zone. And Moses is saying, show me how to lead these people. You've said lead them, but I don't really know. And I mean, let's face it, we're not talking about a church of 200. He was having to take thousands out of Egypt to the promised land. It was a big job that God was calling Moses to do. And Moses was saying, how am I going to do it? There's no shortcuts, is there, to calling when God calls us to do something. And I was thinking, if you feel at this time that God's calling you to do something specific, it will take time. It won't happen overnight. There'll be a time when God is testing your faith and wanting to see how you're going to respond to him. I can remember Paul and Julie. I can remember Paul when he was called. He went for some years having to work it all out quietly in his mind, what was calling God was calling him to do. I watched Dave Thomas when he had to leave teaching to set up Adventure Outreach. And God was calling him to move in faith. Leave a good job with a good wage to set up Adventure Outreach. The other people here, there's Adele and Dave who bought a pub and turned it into a house so that they could look after lots of young people. The Dunnings, we were hearing last week, their experiences, they were ever so young when they were running Youth for Christ in Barnsley, but God called them to do it and God gave them the ability to do it. But nevertheless, he had to call out on many an occasion and say, God, what have you called us to do? And Moses was doing exactly the same. But then what he was doing, of course, and can I just tell you something here about calling? I had a message, a text message, another text message, an email from a guy a couple of weeks ago. They called him David Rimmer. I still can't in my head work out who he is. But, well, it's David, actually, because he's a Czech. Well, you might just remember, I don't know. But this David Rimmer had only just recently heard that Dennis had died, and he'd sent me an email and said how sorry he was because Dennis meant so much to him. But he'd been out in the Far East, and he hadn't... he'd been some months in the Far East. I hadn't been back into Prague, so he hadn't heard that Dennis had died. But he said... my wife and I and family are moving to the Far East, and God has put a call in our life to the Far East. And can I just say, he said, it means so much to me. He said, it's over 15 years we've been waiting to do what God called us to do, because God called us through a prophetic word in the Barnsley Church. You know, sometimes when you think, what are we doing, or what is happening? I still can't get my head around this guy and think, who's David Rimmer? All I know is 15 years ago, he got a call through a prophetic word in the Barnsley Church to go back to the Czech Republic, to have to work there for 15 years, and now going out to the Far East to serve God. And I thought, yes, isn't that lovely? That was great. Sorry, I'm digressing here. Moses... says, how am I going to lead them? But he does what so often we do, I think, and he said, how am I going to do it? Let's get everything in place. How are we going to do this? God's called me to lead these people. God's called me to this calling. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? So, right, we'll get everything in place. We'll sort things out. And it's a bit sort of a panic mode. So he said, what shall we do? Who's going to come with me, God? Who's going to sort this out with me? Well, today we sort of say, technology. We can sort things out very, very easily, can't we? We can get everything organized. We can do it. I mean, we can get an answer to everything, every question you ask. A preacher, you've got to watch preachers these days because they can get... everything they want straight off the internet if they choose to. They can even get their jokes, the Bible readings. You only have to put in a subject and you get a whole thing. I put in the word glory and I got a full sermon from John Piper, who I love John Piper anyway. But you could get a sermon. You can get anything you want. We can do everything, can't we? We can make it happen. We've got the lights, we've got the music, we've got the nightclub, we've got everything to put in place. And if we're not careful, we're like Moses and saying, God, who are you going to send with me? How are you going to do it? How are we going to organize this? And, you know, we can make it happen. We can make everything happen today. In a way that we've never been able to do it in the past. We really can make things happen. But we've got to remember in all this that when God chooses to bring revival, he goes to a little village in Wales where there's four teenage girls, and Evan Roberts, the great revivalist, goes to these four girls. They lay hands on him to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we have the Welsh revival. Four girls in a little village, Newport, in Wales. Three old ladies and a teenage boy in the Hebrides, and the Hebrides revival. It wasn't all the organization that Moses was looking for. And what we can do it all. You know, we can even sing louder. We can shout louder. But God will not be organized by us. And it won't be what we do that's going to make the difference. Then Moses then says, well, the other problem is, God, how, is the rest of the world going to be able to distinguish that we are different and that you've called us and this is what we should do? How are you going to do that? What's going to distinguish us? And God replies to him and says, my presence will go with you. My presence will go with you. But at this point, Moses then gets a bit sort of worked up and frustrated. And he says, you can almost quote it back to me now because you know where I'm going. He says, "Oh God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. It's you I want to see. It's you I want to know. It's your glory. If I haven't got that, I can't lead these people. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what to do. But please, show me your glory." And God says, "Okay, but you can't see my face. You won't see my face, but I will pass by and you will receive my glory." Now, we all know that there are other occasions in Exodus where when Moses goes to meet with God in the Holy of Holies, his face shone. But shining up in his face, it faded. And Moses went in to God, came out with his face shining, but that glory faded. But Moses knew that what he needed more than anything else was the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Well, the nearest I can get to a sentence that would describe the glory of God is the manifest beauty of God's holiness. The manifest beauty of God's holiness. Do I understand that? I'm a human being. I'm me. Do I really? How do I get hold of the manifest beauty of the holiness of God? Now we've got one more reading. Please, Andrew.
It's 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 18. "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that was transitory with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed. Because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit."
Oh, wow. Wow. Those verses. What was Paul saying just 10 minutes ago? "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Wow. The new covenant. We are reflecting the glory of the Lord's glory through the Spirit. If you really take that home and read it and read it, it's just unbelievable. It's just amazing that we can experience far more than Moses. He knew God's glory for a short period of time. But in Jesus, who carried the glory, we now, with unveiled faces, we carry the glory of God. Huh. Now then, how do we carry the glory? That's the question, isn't it? Because it all sounds wonderful, but we're real, aren't we? We're real people. How do we carry God's glory? How is it that we have unveiled faces that can carry the glory of God? How? Well, we've got it there, haven't we? Right at the end, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, we in ourselves can do nothing. Paul was saying, again, he was stealing my thunder earlier on. We in ourselves cannot do these things. We can't work it up. I cannot work up the glory of God. I cannot work up the feelings. I can't work up the feeling of the awesomeness of God and the beauty and the manifest beauty of his glory. I can't work it up. It can only be revealed to me by the Spirit of God. And we have some, just let me read some verses, just a few from John. It's the John 16, please. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Is that verse 14? Yes. Yeah. He will bring glory to me. Listen to this. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit will take what is Jesus and what is the glory and will reveal it to you. Jesus carried the glory, and we with unveiled face reflect that glory, ever increasing through the work of the Holy Spirit. Whew. As I was looking at this, it just left me sort of a bit breathless. He will bring glory to me by taking for what is mine and making it known to you. So the glory of God can be made known to us. We'll not fully understand everything, but the Holy Spirit is there to reveal Jesus and the Father to us. You see, we sing a lot about the Father, don't we? We've got a good Father. We only really understand that through the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise we make everything on a sort of human level, don't we? I mean, sometimes we make Jesus so human. Yes, Jesus laid aside his glory and came down to earth. But sometimes we try, therefore, to make him so human alongside us that he becomes less than God. And the fact is, he's still God. And we can only understand that by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where we're going, the Holy Spirit. What about the work of the Holy Spirit? You know, when you became a Christian, yes, you made that decision to repent and ask Jesus into your life. But it was the Holy Spirit that caused that to happen in your life. It wasn't you that caused it to happen. That's why so often we can say about people, why? I've talked to them about Jesus so many times. Why can't they see it? Why can't they see it? The reason they can't see it is because the Holy Spirit hasn't revealed it to them as yet. Until the Holy Spirit reveals that to us, we can't see it because it's just too big. It's too awesome. This is God. So the Holy Spirit has to be there when we become Christians. The Holy Spirit also wants to baptize us. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? It means we're saying to the Holy Spirit, I'm giving you permission to move in my life and to reveal Jesus and to release the glory and the power and to bring revelation into my life. Sometimes we're a little bit frightened of that, aren't we? I think quite a few people resist being baptized in the Holy Spirit because they're not quite sure whether they'll be in control or not. Well, let me assure you, you won't. Because the Holy Spirit will not, he just will not be bossed around by us. The Holy Spirit does what he wants to do. And he won't. I can remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was very, very cross at first. Because this 14-year-old boy, who happens to be Rachel Fernley's father, not Rachel Fernley, Rachel Taylor over there, her father, when he was 14, went knocking on the staff room door to my husband and said, Mr. Bavister, I've been speaking in a language and I don't know what's happening to me. And Dennis looked at him and thought, well, I haven't a clue. This was a long time ago. I was at work that evening. I came home from work that evening to find the pupil and the teacher rolling round the floor of our lounge, speaking in tongues, laughing and crying. And I thought, at last, I realise he's mad. I went to the local farm, a Christian family in the local farm, and said, I'm not going back there. Dennis is mad. But then I struggled because, you see, I said to the Holy Spirit, I've been a Christian for years. I was brought up in a Christian family. This lad has only just become a Christian. What are you doing? Why is he being baptized in the Spirit and not me? And I got quite angry. I spent a whole year banging my head against the wall, saying, Lord, why? Why shouldn't it? You know, why have you done this to this young boy? Why should he be the first one in our group to experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit? He's a new convert. He doesn't know anything about it. No. And I realized in that the Holy Spirit took me on a journey then for a year. And I realized he will do what he chooses to do. And he will not be governed by us. And I think that's sometimes why we avoid being baptized in the Holy Spirit. What about being anointed in the Holy Spirit? Going right back to the beginning, I was talking about calling. If you've got a calling on your life, specific calling, when did you last ask the Holy Spirit to anoint you again? To anoint that ministry again? To bring his conscious approval upon that he's called you to do? When did you last say, I need the Holy Spirit to anoint me again with fresh oil for the task that I've got? The Holy Spirit is absolutely vital, vital to our lives. We should never make more of any part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No, it's not a case of saying, whoa, Holy Spirit and nothing else. But the Holy Spirit, he waited a long time for his ministry. It wasn't until Jesus said, it is finished, I'm off, I've done what I came to do. And when he went, the Holy Spirit said, yes, now I start my work. And he wants to work in our lives. And he wants to do new and good things in our lives. And we need to call on him more. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to just say, Lord Jesus, I need you, I need my sins forgiven, I need you in my life, and let the Holy Spirit do that work in you. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're looking for that in your life, that the power and the sense of his glory in your life, and you say, I know I'm not baptized in the Spirit, I know I need to be baptized in the Spirit, then come to him and say, Lord, baptize me in your Holy Spirit, and believe him and have faith, and then you watch what he will do. And what about you people here? Some of you have been doing jobs for years. I think of the children's workers out there. How they need more anointing, regular anointings of the Spirit on their lives for the work they're doing. What about people here? You've had a calling, or you feel you've got a calling for something, but you're not quite sure. What about saying, Holy Spirit, come and anoint me afresh with fresh oil. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. We do a great job, and this church is a wonderful job. All sorts of things get done. But there's that time when we just need to say, Holy Spirit, you come and reveal God's glory in my life, that I may have, again, something of the awesomeness of God, to be able to see the things that I don't understand, but I just take on more and more. I need more of you. Boy, don't we need more of him. Don't we, in these days when wonderful things are happening, and next week we've got these marvelous baptisms, and it's great, it's all happening, but we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to keep calling on him. Not just talking about it, but asking him and believing. And I wanted to do that this morning. I don't care how you do it. Should I have got the musicians up by now? Yeah. Yes, please. But can I just say this? Some of you musicians will be Some of you have got are using your gift. Others of you are actually called. You feel, this is my calling. This is what God... Well, if you put your instrument down and let's pray for you, if you feel you want to, don't be bound by the instruments. And I think if we could stand, please. If you feel today that you need an anointing on your calling, a fresh anointing, and not only on your calling, if you just want to know that God is anointing you again with fresh oil, go for it. If you want prayer, if you want to come forward, if you're whatever, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you've struggled with this one for a long time, or you've put it on the back burner, I know really I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I've never had that experience of the glory of God revealed. Because believe me, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know it. Because the glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And if you feel this morning you need that upon your life, come forward, do it where you are. The Holy Spirit is no respecter of whether you're at the front or on your seat. Just do it. Just call out to God, to the Holy Spirit, to come and do something fresh. Lord, we come before you knowing there is so much we don't understand. There is so much more to be had. But Holy Spirit, we want you today to work afresh in our lives. Just want to ask that he will bring about fresh anointings and on people's lives. Holy Spirit, pray, Holy Spirit. These are such important days for the church. I've struggled with this word for weeks and weeks and weeks, because I knew it didn't all fit together. But the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, it won't fit together because I do not fit in where you want me to fit in. I won't fit in by point number one, point number two, point number three. I am the Holy Spirit of God, and I want to reveal Jesus and the Father. It's only through the Holy Spirit that Jesus is revealed to us. It's very clear in Scripture. He will reveal, he will take what is mine. It was virtually the last thing Jesus said. He will take what is mine and will give it to you. Therefore, this glory in the face of Jesus Christ can be given to us. But it's by the work of the Holy Spirit. If anyone feels they need prayer particularly for this, or anyone wants to have hands laid on them for a fresh anointing, feel free to come forward. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Shunda la bara. because this is your day. This is the time for you. This is the time when God wants to release you. I don't know into what, but there's release there. I don't know whether you've got a call in your feeling, but this is your time for him to release you. And the Holy Spirit just wants to release you into that calling that God has got upon your life. Can I just say now, if you feel you're ready and you want to go and have a cup of coffee, that's absolutely fine. Go and have a cup of coffee. The Holy Spirit's there as well. If you feel that's what, you know, for you now is a cup of coffee. But if you want to stay and you still want someone to pray with you, feel free to. The Holy Spirit's not, you know...